Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Clark, the Center for Weight Loss Success. And on this podcast of Weight Loss Surgery Success, we are going to talk to Arlene Spaus, one of the trainers here at the Center for Weight Loss Success. And we're going to talk about some of the sports drinks out there. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everyone. This is Dr. Clark again. And again, today we're going to talk a little bit about some of the sports drinks that are out there. You all know what they are. You get them at the 7-Eleven, the food line, wherever it is you do your shopping, and you all know them. But we're going to talk a little bit about them, kind of what are the good things, potential bad things. We're talking to Arlene Spaus, one of the trainers here, but she also has some experience with some of the different athletic events where people want to use these things. Say hello, Arlene.
Hi, yes, I'm Arlene, and I am a trainer, and I've been a personal trainer for about 24 years now, and I'm a fitness instructor, and I teach a variety of classes like boot camp and cycle and water aerobics and Zumba, all kinds of classes throughout the week. I've been a competitive runner since 1989. I'm actually running a race in 2 days. I ran a race in May where I was the second overall female. I prefer half marathons, so I do about 4 half marathons a year. I used to do full marathons, but that's a little too much wear and tear for this 45-year-old. So I stick to the half marathons. And I have done 2 triathlons. So, and at the races that I go to, the 2 drinks that they always have are water and Gatorade.
Those are the 2 drinks that they serve the runners. Yeah, we see these things all the time. Obviously, you live what you do, which I applaud you for. This is great. But kind of on this topic of sports drinks, there's lots of them out there. The big name you mentioned was kind of Gatorade, but you know there's lots of other ones too.
That's right. I mean, and the industry is booming because it's certainly a moneymaker. Gatorade, I think, has annual sales of, is it $1 billion? And so all these other companies are jumping on the bandwagon. So you've got the Muscle Mix, the Muscle Milk, you've got the Powerade, you've got Vitamin Water, Cytomax. There's a whole list of them, definitely.
And a lot of them, they have similar components. I'm a big fan of water myself, but walk us through some of the kind of other things that are in these drinks and, you know, where they could be helpful or not helpful, and what are the differences between some of them?
Okay, well, first of all, I want to say that as an athlete myself, I have never gotten into drinking these. I'm a fan of water myself, and even when I do the half marathons, there have been a few times where I have felt like I needed something where I will drink some Gatorade, but I'm not a fan. That's what I want to say. I'm not a fan of them. And I want to stress the fact that these drinks were designed for overall hydration to enhance athletic performance. So we're not talking about the general population out there to quench their thirst. Because of the fact that these drinks do have a good amount of carbohydrates and calories and sugar, so there are ingredients in there that if you're just a typical person that just exercises in a moderate way, maybe 3 or 4 times a week for about 30 minutes, there's absolutely no reason why you need these drinks. Good old-fashioned water is the best idea, and sometimes people say, well, I just can't quench my thirst with water. Well, you know what? You can add flavor drops to your water. You can make water taste better. You could just by adding ice, nice, fresh, cold water, you can make it taste a lot better.
Right. Let's talk a little bit about that, you know, that back of that concept of kind of how these were all developed. They were basically developed for the world-class athletes. The world-class athletes that were using, that their athletic performance may go on a number of hours. And I think originally they're made for some of the football players out there, and they got the heat, and they're working out for a long period of time, and this is in their practices, and they would literally, you know, they didn't have the energy at the end of this huge long practice. And part of that was because, you know, hopefully they were staying hydrated, but just with hydration is that your body has to use energy from somewhere. And we don't have that many choices. As humans, we only really have two choices. Our energy has to either come from breaking down fat, or it has to come from the carbohydrate, or breaking down sugar. You know, well, as humans, our bodies preferentially, if it's given the option, will actually choose carbohydrate. And it's not like we can just flip a switch and say all of a sudden, well, I want to use fat instead as the energy source. Because if you think about it, okay, all of us humans, even if we have a very low fat percentage, there's actually, you know, numbers of, you know, 15, even in the most best trained athletes, there's still going to be 15, 20 pounds of fat there, which there's 3,500 calories of energy in that fat for every pound. And so we're talking about every athlete, even the best trained, thinnest athletes, still have a good 40,000 calories or so that they could pull from if they needed to, if there was a way to flip that switch. Unfortunately, as humans, we can't just flip a switch. It's something that we have to slowly evolve and slowly develop. And that's where the athletes that actually work low carbohydrate and they train low carbohydrate, they actually don't need, they can use fat forever. Okay. Athletes that train using carbohydrate as their energy source need then to actually keep supplementing the carbohydrate. And the reason that is because we can't store. As humans, we cannot store much carbohydrate at one time. About the total amount we can store is about 2,000 calories worth of carbohydrate. And if you're running a marathon, you're going to burn through those 2,000 calories, you know, before you get to the end of your marathon. And that's literally what bonking is. If you're familiar at all with that term, is that you burn through all the possible calories that you have from carbohydrate, and subsequently then your brain shuts down. That's what bonking is. Then the muscles shut down after as well. But the brain actually is one of the first things that'll shut down. So an athlete that actually uses carbohydrate, that's their main energy source during their athletic training and athletic events, they'll need to resupply that. The flip side is the athlete that uses fat as its energy source, and that the only way to do that is living low carbohydrate, is that they don't actually need to resupply, and they'll have plenty of energy throughout whatever athletic event they're doing. So kind of a long-winded introduction to where we were actually going with all of this. This is kind of the everyday person using some of these, which you kind of then alluded to and jumped into, is that most of us everyday people, me included, and probably almost you included, is that we really don't necessarily need the energy drinks or the calorie-laden, and it's usually sugar-laden, drinks that are out there that keep us going in our short little bouts of exercise and our relatively short athletic endeavors. I'll let you throw something in there since I just talked for probably about 5 minutes there on that.
Okay, yes. I think a lot of it is sort of a hip thing to do, that you're drinking these sports drinks, and I think it makes some people feel like, I'm a real athlete if I'm drinking a sports drink. And you mentioned a minute ago the energy drinks, and there actually is a difference between the sports drinks and the energy drinks. The energy drinks being like the Red Bull, and those are the ones that have the caffeine. Those are to basically keep people awake. Okay, that's a caffeine boost, where the energy drinks are more for, this is for performance in some athletic activity. But yeah, it's, I see parents getting it for their kids too, and kids, by all means, kids do not need these drinks. Kids need water and milk, and that's about all that kids need. So, once again, the athletes, yeah, there's a purpose there for maybe the athletes that are training really hard and working out for hours.
Right. So, I mean, just to kind of, I don't want to, you know, sit here and bash the drink. I think from a weight perspective, overall health perspective, most of us don't really need the sports drink. They're probably wasted money, wasted resources for most people that are spending money on them. But having said that, it's, potentially there are some benefits to some of the sports drinks. And so we can't just ignore that and say that those aren't real. That, no, there are really some benefits. You know, they can do a number of things, right?
Well, yes, and one of the benefits is that if you think about somebody in a triathlon who, if you're on a bicycle, if you're doing a biathlon or a triathlon, it's a little bit easier to drink a sports drink while you're riding a bike than to eat something. So there's an example of a benefit. It's easier to digest than food when you're in some sports event. You know, they could contain minerals and vitamins.
Right. I think, and certainly for the athletes that are really that overall long training, replacing their glycogen stores is going to be important. The glycogen is our storage form of sugar, and we can only store a small amount. We can store a small amount in our liver. We can store a little bit more amount in our muscles. Now, the more muscle mass you have and the better trained athlete you are, you can actually store more glycogen. And that was the theory behind kind of carbohydrate loading. Is that, you know, and this was much more common back, you know, 10, 15 years ago, when kind of everyone was preaching carbohydrate loading the day before a big athletic event. And the theory was there is that we could overload our muscles with glycogen. Well, there's really not much truth to that. A very well-trained athlete actually can overload their muscle stores with glycogen. The rest of us can't. The very well-trained athlete has what I'll call somewhat of a rubberized tank. If you think about the amount of fuel you can place in a car is depending on the size of the tank. Well, for humans then, if we're putting fuel in the car, it's our muscle mass that we're talking about where we're trying to load the fuel. So the theory there being if we eat a whole lot of carbohydrate, we could overload the muscles with glycogen and utilize that then as the energy source. Well, there is some truth in really well-trained athletes, but that was really well-trained athletes. Those are world-class athletes. The rest of us, it doesn't work. The size of our tank is the size of our tank, and we can't put more. If our tank only is 20 gallons, we can't put 22 gallons of fuel in it. It just doesn't work, and it just spills over, and basically you'll rechange it, change it to fat. So anyway, you can reaccumulate or refill your glycogen tank with some of these sports drinks. Obviously, you can do it much other ways too, but if you are in the middle of that triathlon, that ultra marathon, it's like, well, you need to do it with something that'll work very simply. And so something that actually has a relatively simple sugar in it, then okay, that will actually do that. And so that will work. So again, it kind of goes back to it can be very helpful in the really well-trained athlete to replace electrolytes, to replace the sugar loss that they've done. The rest of us, it just doesn't work very well. Now, we kind of mentioned kind of the negative side, but I do kind of want to go back to some of the negative things that can happen if we're just kind of using these sports drinks as, here, this is what I'm drinking, right?
Right. They're making these unproven claims of improving your endurance, improving your performance, and people buy into that, and they are buying into that because these companies are making a lot of money. And speaking of money, you should think of it as an expense too, of purchasing these products and feeling like you need these products. And let me tell you, the races you pay for, they're getting pricier. So on top of that, you feel like you have to pay for these drinks. And another thing companies are doing is they're coming out with these pre-workout drinks. So they're adding caffeine. The caffeine's being added to the sports drink so that it gives that athlete that pre-workout jolt so that they're ready to fire, you know, get fire right out of the gate and But they're also adding protein. That's the other thing. They're starting to add protein to the sports drink.
They've kind of jumped on the protein bandwagon a little bit and realizing that, yes, we do need protein for athletic events and basically to function. We can't survive without protein. So kind of adding a little bit into their sports drinks, they can remarket it and they can, you know, put it out there as kind of, this is the greatest thing ever because we've added a little bit of protein to it. And so we do see that. But, you know, certainly there are a lot of extra things in there. You have to think about, you know, as you mentioned earlier, it's certainly often they're very loaded with carbohydrate. The sugar itself, potentially, if you're drinking this routinely, can, you know, corrosive on the teeth. There are lots of little things, and certainly a lot of it you kind of alluded to, the unproven claims, is basically we see the world-class athletes marketing and saying, hey, this is the greatest thing ever, and thinking that, okay, if we drink this, we're going to be just like them. I wish it were so easy, because I'd do it too then. It's like, but it's not quite that easy. So anyway, kind of, I guess to kind of wrap that up, kind of sports drinks, there is a place for them, for I think the well-trained athlete. For most of us, though, they really aren't, there's really no big benefit from them. I'd say, you know, save your money. You know, water is one of the best things you can drink, and we can't live without that. So save your money, spend it on other things. Buy yourself a new pair of shoes, right?
Exactly. You can spend your money.
Kind of any comment before we kind of leave this podcast? And if our viewers have questions, you know, throw them at us, so to speak.
I'd like to give everybody an example. I'm going to pick on Powerade. Powerade Fruit Punch has 14 grams of carbs per serving and about 14 grams of sugar. So once again, you do not need that. You do not need that. And I see people buying these drinks all the time, and they are not athletes. So make better choices. Drink the water. It's so much better for you. And then down the road, you're looking at having weight problems, okay? And these drinks don't help. They don't help that. So stick to water.
Absolutely. I totally agree. Hear, hear, so to speak. All right. Well, thank you, Arlene. That was very nice. If you have more questions out there, please listen to the Center for Weight Loss Success. You can always get more information by going to our corporate website, which is cfwls.com. Or if you just want more information about all different things associated with weight, I'd say go to our Losing Weight USA site, which is losingweightusa.com. Sign up there, get more information. You'll have access to me every single week. Every single week I do a webinar where you have free access to me to ask me questions, and we go over topics that are a little bit different but associated with weight and health every single week. Thank you all for listening. Again, remember, it's your life. Make it a healthy one. Take care, everyone.